I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm telling you tonight, there's some in this congregation tonight, you are in bad trouble with God. You listen, this time next year, no telling where you're going to be. You know why? Because, listen, I know. Brother Phillips, I know. When you don't have any spiritual life, when you don't have any spiritual diet, when you don't have any spiritual desires, when you don't have any spiritual direction, when amen in your life, I want to tell you, then there's no restraint. There's no restraint to the flesh. And so your flesh is going to do what it wants to do. There's no quitting. There's no stopping it. That's how I know you're in trouble. Some of you sitting here tonight, your spiritual life is all but non-existent. Come on now. Some of you young people would be a lot further out in sin tonight because you got a parent or guardian or grandparent or a preacher that preaches against your lifestyle. You got parents that tells you no. And by the way, young people, if you got parents that tells you no, they love you. A loose parent that does not care, that does not constrain their children and lets them do whatever with whomever, I want to tell you, they don't love you. They're not trying to be a parent. They're trying to be your buddy. And parents don't need to be buddies. Parents needs to be parents and tell your children no. A loose pastor don't love you. A pastor that will never preach against your sin. He's wanting your money. Amen. He's interested in a paycheck. Amen. But a true child of God will deal with you. A true pastor will deal with you about your sin. You know when there's hope for a child? When the pastor and the parents are teamed up. When the pastor nails your hide to the wall, and then mom and daddy says, amen. Oh, when Junior hears that hard preaching and he looks over and daddy's a nodding his head, he knows the jig's up for him. Amen. Whoa, amen, that's right. Your spirituality tonight is your survival. You can kneel down in spite of the stones, in spite of the stoners, if you've got a spiritual life. I'm alarmed how many people today that go to church and they're not pursuing a spiritual life. And then they wonder why. Have you heard this before? Pastor, pray for me. I'm having a hard time. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know. I'm not making light of your problems. But I just gave you an example of people that cause whining about themselves, a problem, their children. And they ain't been to church in a month. I want to tell them, I said, look, you know what? If you'd been here last Sunday, that message God sent through here last Sunday helped you. You, amen. In fact, you probably wouldn't be calling me today if you'd been in church hearing all of God's messages. And without exception, Pastor, without exception, every one of them that I've asked that calls me whining the blues like that, that don't come to church faithful, in and out, up and down, on and off, every one of them I've asked, preacher, how's your devotions? How's your prayer life?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they get choked up. Why? No spiritual life. Let me preach right here a minute. This is the main one anyway. If you're spiritual, it don't matter what else I plan on preaching.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
If you're not spiritual, it don't matter else what else I preach. It ain't going to land. It's not going to do nothing. I asked a pastor if I called his name. the majority of the people in here would know. One of the greatest men of God I know. I have as much esteem for him as anybody I know. He's been at his church many years, probably getting close to 30 years, I'd say now. And I asked him one night on the phone, I said, "Preacher, let me ask you a question." At that particular time, he ran probably, 130, 135 in that neighborhood. And I asked him, I said, "Preacher, let me ask you a question. How many key people would you have to lose before the spirituality of your church would be gone?" He was silent a minute. I could tell he was thinking, going through the membership. I could see him going down, up and down the pew. And I'm talking about a Bible preacher. Preaches in your Jubilee every year. One of the godless men I know. I'm telling you. And listen, you know what he told me? He said, "Preacher, probably 12, not more than 15. He'd been there probably now, at that time was right at 25 years. One of the greatest Bible preachers I know. One of the greatest prayer warriors I know. Him and his wife, he said 12 to 15. Let me ask you something. If I were to ask your pastor that question, would you be the one of the ones he would think about? Let's see. Well, now there's one. There's another. You know why our church is in the shape that they're in? It is because very few in our churches are trying to have and maintain a spiritual life. You'll never convince this preacher that it's God's will for us to have a dead, dried up church. It's not God's will that our churches be dull and dry and powerless and sinners come, Brother Rochester, and leave lost without God. There's no way that's the will of God. I'll tell you what it is. It's going to take more than the preacher. It's going to take more than a few position holders. It's going to take more than a few elderly people. My friend, for us to have spirituality in our church. And I had the little ones, some of them, to stand up last night. And I want to say something to you young ones. If you're saved tonight, I don't care how young you are. If you're saved tonight, truly, truly saved tonight, if you're old enough to be saved, you are old enough to be spiritual. I want every young person to listen to me. If you're old enough to be saved, God expects you to pray. God expects you to live right. God expects you to have a mind and a heart for the Lord. Do we see that in our churches? Negative. People go to the altar. They get under conviction. They get saved. They stand up. "I got saved tonight." Never see anything else out of them. Never hear anything else out of them. They plop down on a pew. They never testify. They never get involved. That's not God's will. I'm talking about Stephen. You would have never survived. You would have knocked down instead of kneeled down if you wasn't spiritual. Your spirituality, friend, is not how loud you shout. Your spirituality, friend, is your relationship to the Holy Spirit. But here it is. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. Every problem, preachers, every problem in our churches can be summarized by a failure in one area. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. From this platform all the way through this tabernacle tonight, if I were to ask you just a simple yes or no question, are you filled right now with the Holy Ghost? I wonder how many people in here would have to say no. We want revival. We want our kids saved. We want this next generation to get a taste of old time power and have a relationship with God, have fellowship with God. I want to tell you, friend, our little activities is not going to get the job done. Oh no, friend, I tell you what's going to get the job done. The same thing that got the job done with me 32 years ago when I got saved by the grace of God. I sat down on a pew in a revival. My friend, that went 7 weeks, and the power of God arrested me. I got exposed to something more than religion. I got exposed to something more than a rut and a routine and a ritual. I got exposed to the Holy Ghost of God and the power of God. Amen. Most preachers spend the majority, listen, and preacher, most song leaders, most song services spend the majority of their time trying to get the service up off the ground. A lot of times when I go preach somewhere, a lot of times when I get up to preach, the service is still laying flat on the ground after 45 minutes of singing. That ain't the will of God. And then they wonder why in the world I preach all night. Which I don't, nor a lot of times. I'm not predictable. If you listen good, I may preach quick. But I'm telling you, friend, we're in bad shape. Listen, hello? Lord, help me now. Lord, help me. Y'all know I'm trying to be just as real as I can be. I'm trying not to impress nobody. I'm trying to just mind God. Are you listening? But there's people in here, oh mercy Lord, there's folk right here on this tabernacle tonight that if you tonight and tomorrow and the next few days start going into a circumstance where you're having stones thrown at you, you will not survive because your spiritual life is almost non-existent. I don't know if this is camp meeting or cramp meeting. I don't know what it is. But I know one thing. It's Bible preaching. And it's from my heart. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us. We need help. Hey, Stephen. If we could pull a microphone up and get Stephen to testify tonight. Hey, Stephen, what was the key? What was the key, Stephen, for you kneeling down instead of being knocked down? He'd tell you in a half a second, my spiritual life was my survival. You say, but preacher, he didn't survive. Whoa, you're missing it. See, that's why you didn't pay much attention to that point there a while ago. You say, but preacher, he didn't survive. He died. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody watching the preacher, I'm fixing to lay it on him. The stones never did hit his spirit. The stones only hit the flesh. Stones, hello, hey, stones does not stop spirituality. In fact, the truth is, stones surfaces spirituality. Amen. Though the outward man, Paul said it, though the outward man perishes, the stones can only deal with the outward. The inward is, amen. Hey, oh, this is good. Being filled with the Holy Ghost detaches the inward from the outward. Oh, Lord, that's good. No, that's good. The Spirit detaches the inward from the outward. That's why You can be going through all kinds of things and still smile and still say glory to God and still keep on keeping on. Can I give you a good example? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wait a minute, Lord. A cross, crucifixion, and you got joy? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross? How can you have joy, Jesus, when the cross, when you have the crucifixion, when you've been mutilated, when you've been absolutely run through the ringer to the point Isaiah said His visage was marred more than any man. You could not look at Jesus and even see and detect that He was a human being. But where did that joy come from? Wasn't outward. Oh, y'all get this tomorrow sometime. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Oh, the outward didn't look good. The outward, there was blood, and there was, and I'm not trying to be gross. It was a beautiful picture for us that are saved. And I believe Jesus is still going to have that image in heaven. I don't believe there's going to be a little trickle of blood and maybe a little wound here and a scar there. No, I believe He's going to look like in heaven the same as He looked when He was taken down from the cross. Why? So that we'll be forever reminded why we're here, how we made it. Wasn't because of the price. The beauty of heaven is not, my friend, the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. The beauty of heaven tonight is not the street of gold. It is not the water of life. I want to tell you, the beauty of heaven sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Glory! And here's something, brother, that helps me. Oh, I can't. I'm about to have a run at this. The same life that was in Jesus is in me. Oh, watch out now. The same nature that was in Him is in me. The same spirit that was in Him is in me. If I have His nature, and I have His life, and I have His spirit, and according to John chapter 14, I have His peace, then it don't matter what's going on around me. That's not going to take my shout. That's not going to take my joy. It don't matter how many stones. It don't matter how many stoners. I want to tell you tonight, bless the Lord, just like Jesus had joy enduring the cross. Why? It was inward. You don't get your spirit, I'm talking about you that are saved. If you don't get your spiritual life where it needs to be and keep it there and feed it, there's going to be a circumstance that's going to come in your life just around the corner, next year, whenever. It's going to take you down. It's going to knock you down. It's going to knock you down because your spiritual life. No, wait a minute. You can't testify like this. Well, preacher, I got knocked out of church because somebody was talking about me. You won't be able to give no testimony. Well, I did, preacher. I've been out of church a long time. Somebody didn't take my hand. Or I went through this, or I had this to happen. You won't be able to do that. No, here's how you need to testify. Let me help you with it. Let me help you. Testify something like this. Preacher, I got out of church because I was not spiritual. I got out because my spiritual life wasn't where it needed to be. My spiritual life wasn't bigger than my situation. Therefore, my situation won. But He being full of the Holy Ghost. That's it, isn't it, Brother Carrigan? Y'all been in this thing a long time. Is that not the problem? Lack of spirituality is the problem. Not a lack of finances. Lack of spirituality. I sit on the platform every service at my church. I just do. And I sit over here on the side, Brother Kerrigan. Like Sunday morning, preacher, it got absolutely out of the banks at the church. I'm talking about waters to swim. I mean, if you got out in the aisles, you about got run over. You say, you one of them, preacher? Oh, yeah, we one of them. Amen. Oh, Brother Craddock came out of the choir. He started trying not to do it, and he don't do it. I mean, he's subject to it, but he don't do it much. But I seen him. The choir was singing that song. I remember the day when the Lord saved me and all of heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And I watched him. He started doing this. And then he started going. And next thing I know, he's jumping up and down. I thought, uh-oh, somebody better get out of the way. And then down through here he come. Whoom! Down through there running. Come back, try to act dignified again. Next thing you know, whoom! Down the center aisle he went. But here's my point. I was sitting here. Well, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about it was knee deep. It was, yeah, man, it was rich. And I did this. And looked. Scanned. When God was moving, I scanned the congregation. I could not believe how many people was completely unhooked from what was going on. I want to tell you, friend, what I believe, and I've pastored some of them a long time. I've seen God move in mighty power, and I've never seen some of them at all respond to it. I believe they're L-O-S-T, lost. Listen now. You say, judge and preach, you judge. No, just wait a minute. I'm preaching, I ain't done yet. I believe that worship is the true telltale sign of a child of God. John chapter 4, the Bible said, God is a spirit. Does it not say that? God is a spirit. And the Bible said, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Little s. God is a spirit is a capital. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, which is a little s, referring to your human spirit. And worship Him in spirit and in truth. A lost person does not worship, cannot worship God. Why? You're spiritually dead. God is a spirit, your spirit's dead. So therefore, hello, come on now. There's no hookup. There's no attachment. God can move all around you and you have nothing. Why? There is nothing. You're dead spiritually. Amen. But when you get saved, your spirit is resurrected. Your spirit is regenerated. You're made alive. And when God, who is a spirit, gets to moving, your spirit, which now is alive, gets to responding. Hey, there's a hookup. There's a witness between His spirit and your spirit. I wonder why a lot of people never gets involved in a worship service. Amen. I got to hurry. Amen. The inspiration, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. I got more to preach than I can get done. The implication of kneeling down. What does it imply? It implies, first of all, spirituality. It implies steadfastness. It implies submission. It implies subjection. It implies determination. It implies that you're depending on somebody else. kneeling down. He wasn't kneeling down because of weakness. He was kneeling down to worship. Some of you might get that. Now I'm going to prove it to you. Look at your Bibles if you still got them open. Now look right here. The Bible shows us in verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. That means he was praying. So he did, amen. He wasn't kneeling down to pray. He was already praying before he knelt down. Oh, this is good. Look at it. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's already praying. The next verse says, and he kneeled down. That was a gesture of submission. Here's what I believe, personally. He wasn't kneeling down because of weakness. He was kneeling down to worship. I believe this, and I believe it's clearly seen in the Scriptures right here. Verse number 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, did what? Looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now show me, come on now, show me where his eyes was ever diverted from that scene. The stones didn't get him distracted. See, that's what some of your problems is. You got your eyes off of Jesus and started noticing the stones and the situation and the stoners and the negative. And you're spending more time talking about your hurts than you're talking about him. And you ought to be more concerned about you hurting him instead of somebody else hurting you. Oh, that's good. Watch this right here. Everybody watching it? Everybody listening? His eyes are still there. Verse 56, behold, I see the heavens open. Son of man stand at the right hand of God. And I personally believe that the Scriptures here shows, my friend, that Stephen's eyes were still, not glancing upwardly, but at a gaze, at a stare. He was steadfastly looking up into heaven. The Spirit of God that is filling him lifted his focus above the circumstance and fixed his focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory and the heavenly. And I believe this with all of my heart, that when Stephen hit his bowed down on his knees, he was bowing down, showing that everybody that he was remaining faithful. He was admiring the glory. He was still worshiping the Lord. He was still submitted to the Lord, that the Lord was superior to everything going on in his life. Watch this right here. Look right here. He was full of the Holy Ghost, verse 55. The Bible said he looked up steadfast in heaven and saw the glory of God. Look at verse 56. Look at the wording. And said, Stephen now, he sees in verse 55, but now he's saying something in verse 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing. Why was he telling it, preacher? I tell you why he was telling it. That crowd stoning him couldn't see what he was seeing. That crowd stoning him, all they saw was vengeance and hatred and anger. And let's kill him. Let's shut him up. Let's get him gone. Let's do him out. Let's knock him down. But Stephen said, hey boys, I'm paraphrasing. Let me tell you what I'm seeing. You can't see what I'm seeing, but let me just let you in on it. Behold, I see the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory. Hey. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Glory! Amen. It implies that he was submitted. It implied, listen to this, it implied a superiority. If he had a knockdown, I'll be done in a minute or two. If he had been knocked down, if he had been knocked down, listen, oh, this is good. If he had been knocked down, he would have been submitting and bowing to the stoners and the stones and the situation. But he knelt down, bowing to not the mess around him, but the majesty of the Son of God. Are you listening? He wasn't trying to get sympathy. He was getting a sanction from heaven. Amen. He showed superiority when he knelt down of the heavenly over the earthly. He showed the superiority of the spiritual over the physical. He showed the superiority of the celestial over the circumstantial. He showed the superiority of the divine over the difficulties. He showed the superiority of the Savior over the stones. When he knelt down, the implication. Let me give you something else. I've got to hurry. Y'all ready? This is good. I'm enjoying it whether you are or not. There's some blessings about kneeling down. You can't fight when you're on your knees. If you stay standing, you're going to be grabbing stones and throwing them back. But kneeling down takes you off of your feet, which takes you out of control. Nod your head like this. That's good. That's the reason a lot of people don't want to kneel down in their circumstance is because they want to stay in control. Listen, it's difficult to fall. It's difficult to fight when you're on your knees. It's difficult to fall when you're on your knees. It's difficult to flee when you're on your knees. It's hard to fail when you're on your knees. Number four, whatever it is, the intercession. The intercession that helps kneeling down. Stephen was praying, but he wasn't praying for himself. He was exhibiting Christ-likeness. As Christ on the cross was praying for those that was crucifying him, Stephen here had such a forgiving heart that he prayed for the very ones that was throwing the stone. Business will pick up in your life. You say, preacher, I can't do that. Not in the flesh, you can't. You can't kneel down in the flesh. Naturally, in the flesh, you're going to be knocked down. But spiritually, you can kneel down. And in doing so, you can pray for your enemies. I'm going to make a statement here. This is true in me and you. If you cannot pray for your enemies, it's not because of your enemies. It's because of you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to make a statement. I'm telling you, I've been there. I know. I know what it is when God gets on you to pray for your enemy and do good to them that you know, spitefully uses you and all that. I know. Come on. You ever done that when the Lord gets on you and said, now you need to do this and you need to... Lord, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to bless them that are cursing me. Lord, don't ask me to pray for them that are hurting me. But if you can't pray for your enemies, those that's hurt you, those that talks about you, you've got a spiritual problem. Lay not this sin to their charge, Stephen said. You know what that does? You know what forgiveness does? Hello. You know what forgiveness does? It don't let them off the hook. It gives you freedom. You know why, Brother Robert? A lot of people won't forgive their enemies and forgive those that's done them wrong. You know why? They think they're letting them off the hook. They're getting by with it. If I forgive them, they're getting by with it. No. If you don't forgive them, you're going to be the one in bondage. You know the truth is, me laying awake at night, me with ulcers this big, they're not losing sleep over it. I'm going to forgive them, not because they deserve it, because it's the right thing to do, and I need the freedom. I need the freedom. Why do we need to? Listen, the intercession. And then look at this. The influence, last. The influence. Everybody, please get this point. Stephen, why are you kneeling down instead of you being knocked down? And I believe that Stephen knew this. Standing close by. Standing close by was a young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus was watching. Watching what? The stones? He may have started out, oh, this is good. Lord's giving it to me. He may have started out watching the, hey, that's good, John. Throw another like that. But he kept doing that so much, and he never did see this happen. He never did see the object get knocked down. And all of a sudden it would be, oh, that's good. All of a sudden it was made consciously aware to Saul. The stoners don't have nothing. Stephen's got something. Why is it that we need to kneel down instead of be knocked down? Because there's somebody watching your life. They're watching you respond. They're watching your reaction. And if you knock down, they're going to walk away unchanged, unchallenged. They won't think nothing of what you've got. But if you'll stay spiritual in the hard times, if you'll stay steadfast in the hard times, amen, stay the course. Don't quit. Stay the course. Don't quit. There'll be a Saul. There'll be a young lady. There'll be somebody that's going to quit watching the stoners. They're going to start watching you, and they're going to be aware that you've got the goods, and they're going to want what you've got. And I believe this, that Stephen was greatly used of God in winning Saul, who later became Paul. I'm closing with this statement right here. Lord, just put it in my heart. Us Gentiles, we could say, thank God. Thank God for Paul bringing the gospel. I'm about to have a running fit. Thank God for Paul bringing the gospel to the Gentile world, writing 14 books of the New Testament. Thank God for the influence and the instruction of Paul. But had there not been a Stephen, had not there been a Stephen who made the choice to kneel down instead of knock down. And by the way, I believe he died in that position. I don't believe for a second that when his spirit left his body, that God let him fall over. Oh, because Brother Rochester, the stoners would have said, we won. See there? I knew we'd get him. He's laying over there in the dirt. We defeated him. We've shut him up. And I believe he died just like this. On his knees. Hallelujah. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah, God! Amen! Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! Many of you are here tonight because there had been a Stephen in your life. You watched them. They went through hard times. They encountered sickness. They encountered poverty. They encountered all kinds of problems. But they stayed with God. They stayed with God. They stayed the course. And you said, wow. Wow, amen. In all that pain, they're still praying. Oh, with all that's going on, still worshiping, still spiritual, still steadfast, still submitted. It's going to be your choice tonight. You going to kneel down? And a good way to know that, brother, you'll kneel down when the stones are coming is that you're kneeling down before the stones come. We know the three Hebrews there, and three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know, listen, they stood and everything. But you know why they were what they were in the fire? It's because of what they were before the fire. They didn't wait till they got thrown in the fire. So, oh, wait a minute. I got to go to the altar. I need to get right. You better get right before the storm. You better get right before the stones. You better get right before the dark time comes, before the valley comes, before the hard times come. Are you listening? You know what some of you need to do? Some of you need to tell your valley, you're not determining when I leave this world. Some of you need to tell your giants, you're not telling me when I'm leaving this world. God's in charge of when I die. God's in charge of when I leave. Not my hardship, not my adversities, not my afflictions, not my difficulties. Amen. Tell the devil, shut your mouth. You're not in charge of when I leave this world. God is. The devil, I'm telling you, the devil's put some of you, he's put your valley, he's telling you your valley's a grave. You need to tell the devil, my valley is not a grave. Tell the devil your valley's a garden. Because when that valley, you're thinking, oh my, the devil's kicking dirt all over you. Devil's covering you up, and you're thinking, man, how am I ever going to live through this? And how am I ever going to make it? And now, I mean, it's just coming in from every angle, like Stephen's was. It's just coming in from every angle, coming in from every angle. And the devil's telling, oh, somebody's about to get blessed. It's me. Hey, the devil's telling you, I'm burying your hide. I'm burying you. I'm getting rid of you. I'm putting you out of business. I'm burying you. I'm burying you. I'm putting you under. But you need to tell the devil. You need to tell the devil, you're not burying me, buddy. You're planting me. You need to tell the devil, you're not burying me. You're planting me. And when you plant something, it's going to come up. Hallelujah. Oh! Oh! Here's a word. Here's a word. Here's a word the devil's whispered in somebody's ear tonight. Termination. I'm putting you under. I'm putting you out. Termination. You need to say, come here, big boy. Let me tell you something, Jack. My word is not termination. My word is germination. When something's terminated, you bury it and it'll go to decay. But when you plant something, it's going to germinate and it's going to come up. Some of you, the devil thought a long time ago, I've buried you. I've put you out of business. But look at you. Look at you. You're still in the house of God. Hey, hey, glory. Glory, glory. Glory! Glory! I say glory! Glory! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Bless His holy name! Oh, mercy! I don't know at the times the devil's told me, you're a goner, big boy. Hey, Brother Rochester, no telling how many times the devil said, you're a goner. This it. You're done. Termination. Termination. You're terminated. It's over. But look at you. Here you got a Bible in your hand. You got your family with you. You're still pastoring a church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm looking at miracles. I'm looking at miracles. If the natural course would have took place, you'd have been out of business because you'd have been knocked down. But instead of being knocked down, you nailed down. And that's spiritual. Glory! Hallelujah! Oh, my soul. I thought I was done, but I'm telling you, I'm about to... It's getting foggy in here. Hey, it's getting foggy in here. You say, preacher, what was it? What was it, Brother Phillips? When Stephen started going down, I could hear the stoner say, there he goes. There he goes, boys. We got him. Because see, at the first, kneeling down, falling down kind of looks alike. Oh, forgive me. This thing's getting big. I can't help it. Blame God with it. Amen? Looks the same until all of a sudden. Wait a minute. The stoner says, wait a minute. Something's wrong. He stopped. We thought he was going under. He stopped. He stopped on his knees. And I believe this, church. I believe what was holding him up, keeping him, allowing him to stop right there, was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will support you. The Spirit of God will support you. Can I give you a good example? Y'all forgive me. Y'all sing it out tomorrow night. Let me give you an example. Jesus Christ, when the disciples on the sea, stormy sea. Jesus was on the mountain to pray. Here he comes. Steps right off the shore, right onto the sea. No difference. It didn't matter if it was dirt. It didn't matter if it was sand or sea. It don't matter what's under his feet. It's what's controlling his feet. And Jesus walked right on the sea. Went out there. Of course, you know the story. I'm shortening it down. And Peter said, if it be Jesus, if that's really you, paraphrase it, if that's really you, bid me come unto you, walk on the water. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he had in him the same spiritual enablement that Jesus had in him. You'll never be more like Jesus. You'll never mimic Jesus more than when you're allowing the Spirit of God to support you to walk above the natural, to walk a supernatural walk. Of course, we know when Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to be controlled by the natural, and he began to sink into the natural world. The Spirit of God will support you tonight. Some of you know tonight. I've preached probably, I thought last night that was it. I preached longer last night than I've preached ever in 32 years. But I preached longer tonight than I did last night. I didn't mean to. Honest before the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm an hour preacher most times. 50 to hour preacher. Y'all forgive me. I can't help it. Amen. I can't help it. Amen. I'm talking about, friend, what'll keep you going when everybody says they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. This is it. This is over. They're goners. Here you are. You're serving God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done.